Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 through 44. That can be found on page 49 and 50 of the Pew Bibles. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance may say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for words that often convict us. Words which come from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Words which I pray will penetrate our hearts and lead us to action. Lord, you call us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. To be disciples means that we give of ourselves as Christ gave to us. And so, as we listen to these words, may we hear Jesus' voice. And as I bring forth the message, Lord, I do pray that it is your message and not mine. And I pray that our hearts will be open to receive what you have for each of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our readings this morning are ones that people often do not like to hear. Words that people don't look forward to hearing a message preached on because it's about money. I'll be honest, as I go to God with what it is that He would have me share each week, I pray that God will give me His word. Not only of what he would have me share, but also what he can teach us. What he says to his people through my mere human voice. I pray, God, give me words that will penetrate our hearts in a way that leads us to live in you. And so I do not exclude myself from that prayer. I always ask that the message that I speak is a message for all of us. And some Sundays when I walk out of the pulpit, I go, "Lord, I know that message was meant for me today." So I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to hear God's message for us today. Since I came here in July and have begun preaching, you have probably heard me preach and teach on the fact that God calls us to share His Word. God calls us to be His hands and His feet. And I'm thankful for each box that is sitting here that is representative of us being the hands and the feet of Jesus as these boxes go all around the world. To children who may never have heard of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I believe God is calling us to be a visible presence in this community. I believe He is calling us to reach out to those who do not know the name of Jesus, to those who have heard but have not sought Him out. For those who are seeking and searching and often turn to the things of this world and not to Christ Jesus. I believe he wants us to reach out to those who have been hurt by his people. To those who have been disappointed and have turned their back on the Lord. I believe he calls us to go out, to touch the lives of others in a very physical way. But today, God has asked me to talk about money, a subject that pastors don't like to talk about, and a subject most parishioners don't want to hear. Actually, God gave me this message quite a while ago, and I kept ignoring it. But as we know with God, when he has a message for us, or he calls us to action, he doesn't let up, does he? And so when I came to the lectionary this week and the passage of scripture in the gospel, I knew that I had to share this word. Not only about money and giving to benefit the storehouse and others, but the fact that in our giving, it draws us closer to the Lord. Have you ever looked at money as a heart issue? It is. There are many scriptures in God's Word that talk about our hearts, but one of my favorite comes from the Psalms, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Meditation of my heart. What do our hearts meditate on? Do they meditate on God and all that he has given us? Or do they meditate on what it is that we want? See, our hearts are where our emotions come from, aren't they? It is that place where our feelings come from. That place where we feel love. And so often our hearts meditate on the emotions that we are feeling and not on the emotions that tend to draw us closer to God. To know that love that he has for us, that sacrificial love he has given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Instead, sometimes we let our emotions control us. Emotions that tell us that when someone mistreats us, that we are to mistreat them back when Jesus says, love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. Go that extra mile. Sometimes our heads interfere with our hearts. So the meditation of our hearts become misaligned with our God. God wants us to align our hearts with him. He wants us to listen to his voice. He wants us to know that love in our hearts, a love that will calm our fears, a love that will bring us peace in the midst of chaos, a love that is open to the Holy Spirit as it convicts us of our sins, a love that allows us to hear the truth of his word. So we have to ask ourselves, are our hearts aligned with God? Are we ready to do his will? We must go to God in prayer. We must open ourselves to His Holy Spirit to convict us of what is in our lives that is keeping us from fully living for Him, of what it is that keeps us from aligning our hearts completely with Him. And then we must take that and lay it at the foot of the cross, allowing the blood of Jesus Christ to wash it away. And then to be silent and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts in a way that brings us closer in line with the heart of God. Now, I don't want us to misunderstand that sometimes our hearts can be aligned with God, but Satan is messing with our heads. Satan is trying to convince us otherwise, that we are not in line with God. Because Satan will do all that he can to try and pull us away from God. And the one place he does that is with our money. See, everything we have is God's. But Satan often tries to convince us that our money is ours. We worked hard for that money, didn't we? We're the ones who earned that money. Sometimes we fail to see that blessing of God, that He has provided us with the ability to earn that money. The ability to receive the money that we have. And even if our monies are few, we need to think about all that God has given us. We need to think about the fact that He sacrificed His Son for each of us. And for this reason alone, we should want to give back a portion of all that we have as a means of saying, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done for me. Let me ask you, when you give someone a gift, do you expect them to say thank you? Whether that be a verbal thank you when you give them a gift, whether it be a text message saying thank you for the gift, an email thanking you, or an old-fashioned thank you that is sent in the mail. Shouldn't we want to give thanks to God for all that He has given us? What does it say about our faith of how we give thanks to God? Of how we give thanks to our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer? Oh, we can say thank you, God, when we pray. We can say thank you, God, for everything that you have given us. But Scripture tells us that we are to do more. Scripture tells us that we are to give to God. In the Scripture that Dave read for us this morning, it says, when we don't, we are robbing God. Now, I know that Scripture comes from the Old Testament, and many people today say, well, we're not the Old Testament church, we're the New Testament church. Jesus never told us that we're to give 10% of our offerings. But if you read Scripture, especially the Gospel, Jesus talks a lot about money. And in our Gospel reading this morning, we see that Jesus says there are those who were to set the example. And yet they weren't. They were giving out of their abundance. In other words, they took what they wanted first, and they gave God their leftovers. Now, for many, that was still great amounts of money. And it wasn't the amount of money that Jesus was concerned with. It was their hearts. It was in their giving and how their hearts were sharing those gifts. The poor widow
She gave out of her poverty. She gave to God first and had nothing left for herself. Sacrificial giving. In Malachi, we are told to bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house, and put God to the test. He says, see, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour down on you an overflowing blessing. Now, I don't want us to think that we are to give just so that God can overflow his blessings on us. Because what we have is already his. God does not want us to give because the collection plate comes around every week. So we better put something in it. God wants us to be a cheerful giver. He wants us to give from our hearts. Hearts that live for Him. So if we should ever question why it is that we give because we live for our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe very strongly in tithing to the storehouse. But I'll tell you, when Herb and I were first married, he didn't even know what a tithe was. But he knows now how important it is for me to not only tithe of my money, but also tithe of my time. And the reason for that is everything I have comes from God. And so to give back to God is truly a privilege, at least in my eyes. That was hard for Herb to understand, that a tithe was a blessing. It's not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a blessing in our lives. It's meant to draw us closer to God. But I think there are many people that look at tithing as a burden. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember how blessed we are. And He wants us to give with blessed hearts. Some people question whether 10% is still the amount of a tithe. Well, we've never been told different, but a New Testament teaching on tithing comes to us from 1 Corinthians. And it says, on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money, keeping with his income. Now, giving is between you and God. I don't know what anyone gives. I don't want to know what anyone gives. But I can tell you that God has called me to tithe. He has called me to tithe to my church and in my abundance to give to others. So should you give 10% to the church? Ask God. Go to God and prayer, let the meditation of your heart align with God's will for your life. God will let you know. God knows what it is that you have. He knows what your needs are. And He knows what you should give from His heart. But I can tell you, as long as I have been tithing, God has always provided for me. Herb and I both lost our jobs in the coal industry about the same time, and our income was cut more than half of what we were used to getting. But even in those times, I tithed, and God provided for me, provided for our family. Now, there may have been things that we wanted that we didn't get, There may have been vacations that we wanted to take that we couldn't take. There may have been weeks that supper consisted of hot dogs and macaroni and cheese for Denny Moore beef stew. But God always provided what we needed. Some would look at that as sacrificial giving. I never felt like I was sacrificing anything, because I could never give what God has given to me. His Son, Jesus Christ, that my sins could be forgiven and I would get to spend eternity with my Creator. The question we have to ask is, what is God calling each of us to? How is it God is calling us to tithe to His storehouse? The widow Jesus observed tells us that she did give sacrificially. She is giving everything she had to live on. How many of us have ever sacrificed in our giving to God? How many of us have ever given our last penny so that it could be used for God's people? I think most people give out of an abundance. I think most people feel that they have an obligation to give when they attend a church. But is that what God wants? Does God want us to give just because we have an obligation? I believe God wants us to give because He wants us to draw closer to Him. And so, in our giving, what are we telling God? Do we give to God first? Or do we give to God last? How many of us trust God to give Him a tithe, to give Him a tenth of what we have? As I said, your giving is between you and God. And if you aren't giving a tithe, that's okay. But do you trust God enough to increase your tithe? If you're currently giving 1%, do you trust God enough to give 2%? If you're currently giving 5%, do you trust God enough to give 6%? And if you are giving your tithe and you still have more to give, I don't think God would be upset if you gave more than a tenth. But even if we gave 100% of what we have, even if we gave as the widow gave, none of us can ever outgive God. Another question I think we need to ask ourselves is, why do we give? Do we give because we feel it's an obligation? Do we give because a collection plate is passed? Do we give because this is our church and we don't want the doors of this building to close? Do we give because we look in the bulletin and we see what the weekly needs of the church are, and so we try to give so the church can meet those needs? Do we give because we want to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have given me? Do we give because we want the meditations of our hearts to be aligned with God? There's a story of a man who called his pastor and said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you about something." And so the pastor went to his house, and the man said, "Lord, I need to talk there. Pastor, I need to talk to you about what my financial giving should be to the church." pastor listened to him intently, and then he said to the man, "Let us pray." And as he prayed, he said to the man, "I ask that you would place it on this man's heart to give one-tenth of his income to the Lord." After that, the man thought to himself, "Well, that won't be too difficult. That'll be about $1,800 a year, so that's only about $35 a week." And so the man made that promise that he would give the Lord one-tenth of his income. Years passed, and the man's income increased. He became quite wealthy, and he called the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, could you come back and talk to me again about my finances?" And so the pastor goes back, and he says, "You know, Pastor, I'm making like $200,000 a year now. So I'd like to be released from that promise I made to God several years back, because a tenth of my income will now be $20,000 a year. And there are things I want to do with that money." The pastor said, "Let's pray." They bowed their heads, and the pastor began to pray, and he said, "Lord, you know that this bigger salary has become a problem to my brother here. So maybe you could reduce the salary back to $18,000 a year so that he can afford his tithes again. You know, as I ask the children, is it more difficult to give with the larger amount of money? A penny out of 10 doesn't seem like much. A dime out of a dollar doesn't seem like much. A dollar out of 10 is very easy. $10 out of 100 is probably pretty easy too. Then we move into $1,000 out of 10,000. It starts to become a little more difficult, doesn't it? And as the children said, because that wasn't their money, it was easier for them to give. Is it harder for us to give the more we have? You know, the average salary in Tyrone is $56,493 a year. That means $5,649 would be a tithe. Monthly, that would be $471. Weekly, it would be $118. Does that seem like a lot of money to give to God's house? Another question, and please don't raise your hands for this, but just think about this. How many have never increased their giving with their increase in income? It happens a lot. That people continue to give the same amount that they've always given, regardless of what their income is. Who are we in Christ? And how is it that we give? This sermon talks about money, but what God wants first and foremost is your heart. Have you given your heart to God? If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. And if your heart belongs to God already, do the meditations of your heart align with God's will? So that you are giving all that God is asking of you. I would encourage you to strongly have that conversation with the Lord. Because truly your giving is between you and Him. God's Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you. Remember, He is our helper, our comforter, our guide, our advocate, the one who brings us into the truth, the one who enlightens us to use our gifts, the one who works to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And so may we thank God. May we thank Him as we give our gifts to Him. And may we live allowing His Holy Spirit to not only lead us in our giving, but lead us in our living. Amen.